everybody, and welcome. Well, welcome to worship here at Biggleshead Baptist on this lovely sunny morning. There's a bit few of us this week, but we're still make up for it in quality, or we're lacking in quantity maybe this morning. I want to start by reading some words from Psalm 84, which say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." And I wonder whether that's our attitude today as we come to worship. Have we come here longing to be here, yearning to be here, and thinking actually it's better to be in God's house? This is the highlight of our week. Or we're finding ourselves here because it's Sunday morning and we always rock up on Sunday morning at 10:30. So I think it's really good just before we start worshipping to think actually to come expectant. We are here to meet with God. We're here to praise and worship the living God and to receive from him and to hear from him. This is the most important time of our week, I suppose, and that we need to come in that expectant attitude that God wants to meet with each one of us and wants to speak to each one of us today. So before we sing any songs, or do any talking, let's just spend a short moment quietly before the Lord and say, God, I am coming here today and I want to meet with you. I want this to be significant. I want it to be impactful. And then we'll sing together. Yes, Father God, we pray that you would meet with each one of us here today. May we hear your voice. What is it you want to say to me? What is it you want to say to us? Give us hearts that are listening and ready to receive from you. And may we give you our best praise today, and may we go from this place knowing that we've met with you. Amen. So if you're able to, please do stand to sing with us.
Awaken the desire, we'll burn our hearts with you. Your word is the way.
It'd be good if one or two people could just shout out their prayers of praise to the Lord right now. Father God, we thank you that you are above all others. There is no one who compares to you. There's nothing beyond your power. There's nothing beyond your might. And Lord, we thank you that you are beautiful, that you are loving, that your heart is good towards each one of us. Thank you, God, that you are that kind of God, that that is your nature. Amen. Okay. I've got to unplug myself to move over there now. Right. Okay. I've got one or two notices. The first one is that it's communion later in the service and the children will be staying in for communion. We've got a little time before then, but in our church, the policy or the decision is that as soon as somebody knows the Lord for themselves and accepts him as their saviour, they are welcome to take communion regardless of their age. But it has to be when that person is ready and knows the Lord. So as parents, that's for you to discuss with your children and know where your children are at. So maybe in the next 15 minutes as we're doing the next bit of the service, it might be a chance to have a little quick think about that and check with them if you're not sure and you want to make sure that whether they should be taking that or not. That's between you and your child. This afternoon we're having a picnic in Carol Swales' garden, which is at 4 Lavender Way. Do you want to give a wave, Carol, those who don't know her? Turn around and look at her, she's looking beautiful. So that will start at 1:30 and run till approximately 4 o'clock-ish, something like that. You need to bring your own picnic food, but there'll be tea and coffee and drinks. Mum, or Carol, who's my mum, lives at 4 Lavender Way, which is kind of opposite the co-op car park near that roundabout and opposite the big park there. So if children are coming and want to go and play at the park with their parents, absolutely, that would be great to do that as well. There's not much parking outside the house, but there is parking over at the co-op and limited parking on the road. Just don't park too many cars there to annoy all the neighbours. And you maybe come today and thought, oh, I'd like to have done that, but I've put my roast in. How's that going to work? Have your roast and then come afterwards for a cup of tea. It's just a chance to meet together, spend some time together, having a bit longer to chat and to maybe challenge yourself. Talk to someone you don't normally talk to this afternoon if you come to that picnic, pointing at myself when we talk about that as well. Next Sunday, there's another opportunity to have a picnic, and this time we're going out of town and we're going to Gamlingay, and the picnic will be in the grounds of the Eco Hub in Gamlingay from 4 o'clock, so it's a later picnic. You have to bring your own food and you have to bring your own drinks to Gamlingay. There's no food and drinks provided, but there are toilets, so that's good. And you have access to the skate park if you are young or brave and want to do that. If you can't get to the Eco Hub under your own steam, have a chat with Mike Sladen, who is here, but I've lost him. He's not here. He is here. Have a chat to Mike or Heather Sladen. Heather's waving, and they will be able to sort out a lift. Somebody will be able to get you there. It just needs a bit of coordination. Have I covered everything on the picnics? Yeah, okay. Mike has also said that next Sunday he's leading, I believe it's an all-age service, and he's asked people to send him some photos in advance of that of the best place they've ever been or somewhere they want to go. And it'd be great to have lots of different people sending pictures of the best places they've ever been or ones they want to go to in the future. So please do that and email them to mike@bbchurch.org.uk. And Ali's left a notice. She's not here on holiday, but she's left a notice even still, which I think is just class. Anyway, she says, please let everyone know that the greatest story ever told books are available for collection for those who have ordered them. They're over there by the fire exit in the corner. They've in bags with your names on. So get the right one and pick those up there. I think that is all the notices. Have I missed anything? Fantastic. Right. Dave's going to come and do our reading for us. Yeah. Is it on? Yeah.
The reading is from Psalm 26.
Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I led a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. So later on, Gareth's going to come and speak on that psalm. Now, when he told me he picked that psalm, I thought, what are you doing? He had free choice of any passage in the Bible, and he's picked that one, which I think is quite a difficult psalm. So I had a look at it before today, and one verse that stood out to me from that psalm was verse 2, which says, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. And that reminds me of another psalm, Psalm 139, that says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And it got me thinking, what does it mean to say to God, search me, God, test me, God? What does that look like? What's that actually talking about? So I was thinking about it and I thought that's a bit like us saying to God, here's my life. I lay it all before you, all the things I'm doing, how I use my time, how I use my money, what my interests are, what my relationships are like, how I treat people, what I'm doing. I lay it all before you, God. Will you show me where I'm not quite lined up with what you want me to be living like? Which parts of my life are not quite right? Because I want to live that blameless life that the psalm is talking about. I want to do it right, God, but I don't always know quite how to do it. So it's that act of going to God and saying, where do I need to alter my course a little bit? Where do I need to move one way or the other a little bit? And that reminded me of a game we used to play as children, the hotter and colder game. Who knows the hotter and colder game? So I'd like a volunteer this morning to play the hotter and colder game. I can't see because there's Christopher, come on out. And I want a volunteer to give Christopher clues. So Christopher's going to look for this packet of Maltesers, which is my last packet of Maltesers. I forgot to go shopping and get a treat. So we're going to hide it. So can you just pop outside the door for one moment while we hide it somewhere in the church? I've not thought this through. I'm going to give it... Is he hiding? See what I'm doing, yeah? Right. Okay. Did you all see where it's hidden? Right. Come back in, Christopher. Come back in. Stand at the front over here. Have we got a volunteer to give clues to Christopher? Come on out. Don't tell him exactly where it is. I've only got one packet of Maltesers. I've only got one go at doing this game. Right. Okay. So, tell him, is it getting hotter or colder? Hotter. Is it getting hotter? Oh, getting a bit colder. Oh, definitely a bit colder. Getting colder. Getting hotter. Oh, getting colder. Getting colder. Getting colder. Yay! Yes, well done. Thank you. You may both sit down, you can share them if you want, but I'm not going to supervise that. Right, so that's, I think, a a little bit of what it should look like with us and God. God, this is what I'm doing in this part of my life. How can I get hotter for you in this? How can I do this better for you? Where am I maybe crawling away from you and pulling back, not being wholehearted in my attitude to you? So as we prepare to move into our time of communion, we're going to sing a couple of songs that just give us space to say, God, here's my life. Will you search me? Will you test me? Will you show me? Point to things in my life where I need to change. And the good thing about this is God isn't saying, yeah, you've got that wrong. You've got to sort out that. You're a terrible person. No, God wants to come and say, yeah, this part of your life, we need to work on this together and we'll do it with you. And I will give you the strength to change and I will help you. He's not looking at us to fix it all on our own. So if you want to stay seated or stand, however you feel comfortable, we're going to sing a couple of songs before we go into communion.
Any way in me that does not reflect your purity.
you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. So we're coming to the part of our service where we're going to deliberately take time to remember again Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for us and what that means. Because sometimes in the busyness of life, we can forget just what a great sacrifice that was and what a great thing Jesus did for us on the cross. How now we can all be forgiven for all the wrong things we've ever done, and we can be in relationship with the living God now and forever. So as we come to that time, I want us to read together some words from Ephesians, which should be on the screen. So let's read these together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for what Jesus did for us on that cross. We thank you that through his blood we do indeed have forgiveness for our sins. We thank you that you have lavished grace upon us far beyond what we could ever deserve. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us since the creation of the world and you chose us to be yours. Thank you, God, for everything that this sacrifice and the celebration of the sacrifice means. Amen. I wonder if you have some volunteers from the youth to give out the bread and wine. Anybody younger than 25 willing to do that? Yeah, come on up, come on. Anybody else? Oh, it's got a, yeah, come on. No, we're not people over 18, actually. Sorry, Christopher. Sorry, over 18, I think, to do this. Anybody else? Anybody older then? Let's have two old people to balance it up a little bit. Oh, Janice, an old person. And Catherine, an old person. Right, okay. Right. Yeah. So, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." So you could take those over that song. Said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Take the cup. And we retain the cup until everybody's been served, and then we drink together. So let's drink together with thankful hearts, remembering all that the Lord has done for every one of us. We started our communion time by reading a few words from Ephesians, and the book goes on to say, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Amen." Hallelujah. Okay, it's almost time now for our children to go out into their time together. That's children up to and including year six. Yeah. But before they do, we're going to sing one more song. And I've chosen this song because I think it's another song talking about the theme today of asking God to help us to figure out where we're out of step with him. The song talks about, are you going to choose to follow him when things aren't going your way? Are you going to choose to follow him when no one else is doing it? It's a really fun song, but it's got that important message of checking in. Are we doing things? Are we following you, God? Are we wholehearted for you no matter what? So we're going to sing Okie Dokie, and I've got some volunteers through Actions. Volunteered, I'm not sure who it was, to be honest. But please, anyone else want to come and join Emily with the Actions? Any older people want to come and join Emily with the Actions? It worked last time. Oh, brilliant, you've got a helper. Oh, brilliant, you've got another helper. Any advance on two? There's safety in numbers, people. No, right, okay. Well, everybody has to stand for this if you're able to, and I think you can do the Actions in your pew. I would be doing it if I wasn't playing, honest. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
activities, and we'll pray as they go. Father God, we thank you for each and every child who's going out now. May they have such a fun time, and may they learn things from you. And I pray for each and every adult who's staying in here now, Lord, may we hear from you and learn from you and receive from you this morning, we pray. Amen.
Hit the magic button, Jensen. Cool. Excellent. That's my Bible you've made.
Yeah.
Use it here. I've got all my passages marked out and you can't take it away. Welcome to this morning's service. We've got at least two visitors that I'm aware of this morning. There are probably more. So welcome to the service. Andrew and Anne have come up all the way from Farnborough to be here this morning. Not because they know me, they don't know me from anybody, but they got married here 43 years ago. They got married in this church by Anne's father, who was the previous minister here, Robert Shaw. So welcome and thank you for coming up to the centre of the known universe that is obviously Biggleswade. If you were here this time last year, almost to the week, you might recall that I was speaking on Psalm 25 when Martin was on one of his when he was on his sabbatical. There was a little bit of discussion in the Godfrey household this morning about this, whether this could then be part of a mini series, because is a mini series just two, and can you have a mini series that's 12 months apart if there's just two episodes? My good friend ChatGBT did confirm that a mini series could be defined as anything from 2 to 12 episodes. There's no upper limit. I don't know when it stops being a mini-series, but there's no upper limit. But you could have as few as two episodes. And then it started to give me a whole series of TV programmes, all of which had a minimum of 4 programmes, which wasn't very helpful to my argument. So I did a little bit more prompting with ChatGPT, and it then gave me a kind of list of various TV programmes that had only 2 episodes to help support what I was saying. So some of that was Spartacus from 2004, In the Beginning from 2000, which is a retelling of the Genesis story, and Elizabeth First, starring Helen Mirren, back in 2005. So ignoring the fact that actually we're having, that most of those series were aired within 7 days of each other, those episodes, we're going to carry on with this mini-series, as I like to call it, going through Psalms. Maybe next year we'll get onto Psalm 27. Who knows? Who knows? So we're in Psalm 26, and as Helen said, it's maybe an odd way to start, isn't it? It's an odd way to kind of think about what David's doing. He says, "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life." Now, those of you who are familiar with the story of David will know that is certainly not true later in his life. We're certainly aware of some of the pitfalls. But to say, "Lord, I live a blameless life," wow, that's a claim by anybody's standard. We know that at this point, well, some of the commentators made a comment about where David was at this point. He was probably hiding from Saul. He was probably in a cave somewhere. And if you want to kind of look that up, possibly after the barbecues, instead of watching a film or a John Wayne film or some action, if you read 1 Samuel 24 to 26, you'll see that's quite full of action and threats and intrigue. But that's where Saul is chasing David and David is hiding and doesn't kill Saul, as he could have done several times. David was a young man, maybe early 20s, many years before he became king. He'd defeated Goliath with his 5 stones that we all remember. He'd won many battles. He'd avoided several attempts on his life from a very jealous Saul. But at this point, David is calling out to God, not because he's a blameless person, not because he hasn't sinned, but with integrity in his heart. In Psalm 25, just a couple of verses before, we see, "Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me." David isn't saying he led a blameless life in those words. What he's coming to God with is, "I'll come to you, God, with integrity, that actually my heart is yours." And we'll come on to that in a little bit. that he lived wholeheartedly for God. That he may not have been perfect, but wanted to follow God in everything that he did. And actually, part of that led to him being separated, having that segregation from society, and being hounded by Saul. It was completely unfair. And here David's calling, why is this unfair? What's going on? Why? Vindicate me, God. And we see in 1 Kings, I forget the right passage, there we go. 1 Kings 9, God actually recognises this before Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 9. When Solomon had finished building the temple, this is David's son, and the royal palace, he had achieved all he had desired to do. The Lord appeared to him in a second time, and he appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said, I have heard the prayer and pleas that you made before me. I have consecrated this temple, which you have built, by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all the things I command and observe my decrees, I will establish your royal throne. God establishes to David's own son that actually David did walk with integrity, that he followed his ways. David was crying out for that integrity, and God gave it to him and acknowledged that. How brave a person are you? Are you willing to confront your fears? I'm afraid of heights. Well, technically, you could say I'm afraid of falling from heights rather than from afraid of heights. On holiday in France, when the kids were a lot younger, we went to this camping site, and they had a kind of go ape outdoors place where you kind of swung between the trees and walked between the trees. It was agreed that we'd all have a go, and the adults would go between the children to make sure they're all clipped on and nothing untoward happens to them. There was a little kind of section to start with, just make sure you knew what you were doing. It was about 3 or 4 foot off the floor, so everyone get a practice about how to transfer the line. So if you're unfamiliar with the process, you get a carabiner, that's the right word, get that right, and you get one of these, you clip it on, you transfer across, you clip on the other one, and as you're about to clip off, you clip off that one, put it to the new section, and you walk through. So you'll have two of these, and you're always connected to the line. When it was my turn to do this little one, 3 or 4 feet up in the air, I clipped myself on, went up, and as I turned round, I realised I was only yay big off the floor, that actually, nah, I can't do this. I was looking at these trees, 30, 40 feet up in the air, and that wasn't for me. I decided I was going to play football or watch them do this or do something else, but I was not going to climb up in the trees. I wasn't brave enough to do that. I was told later on, because I wasn't there, because they were all up in the trees, that at one point my son Cameron, who was probably 6 or 7 at the time, he turned round to Auntie Janice and said, what do I do with these two, Auntie Janice? She very delicately took one and clucked it on. Well done. How brave are you? In verse 2 of our passage, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Is that a prayer you've prayed to God? Is it a prayer we've brave enough to pray to God? He was asking that his life be shown to be right before God. Then if not, to adjust him, to make him aligned with God's will. Sometimes we can convince others that we're doing the right things, we're living the right way, we're speaking the right words. We may even deceive ourselves into thinking that what we're doing is out of the right motives, true and proper. Whether they really are or not, we can deceive ourselves like that quite often. But God knows our heart and our motives. He sees what man cannot see. David is looking to be tested, to be found trusting and relying on God. That obedience to the mighty, seeking to live as he wanted to do, wholeheartedly, and being alongside God, he wanted that to be his true desire. That's a fantastic prayer, if you're brave enough. There's a similar sort of story in some of the Gospels, and different versions as told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it's the one of the young man who comes to Jesus He's a man of importance. He's got power, he's got privilege. He's got authority. He's got wealth and standing in the society. One passage talks about him as being the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus with respect. Teacher, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Wow, what a great prayer that is. What a great question. How do you answer that question? Jesus points the young man to the commandments. Obey those. I'm sure we can't disagree with that. So wanting a bit more clarity, the young man says, well, which ones, Lord? Which ones should I follow? How would you answer that question? You want eternal life? What should you do? Maybe Jesus' answers maybe surprise you a little. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honour your mum and dad. Love your neighbour as yourself. Do not murder. Tick. Do not commit adultery. Tick. Do not steal, even from woolies. Tick. Do not give testimony. Do not give false testimony. Honour your mum and dad. The young man had said he'd done all of these things. He's quite proud, you know. I've come to the teacher. He's asked me what I should do. Everything's tick, tick, tick. I'm all right. Again, he asks, is there anything I'm missing? In Mark's version, it says, Jesus loved him. He saw into his heart, and Jesus loved him. He then pinpointed the stumbling block in this man's heart. He told him to sell up, give everything he had away, and to follow him. In the society of this young man, he was a good man, upstanding. But Jesus saw into his heart, and that there was a discrepancy there, a block between him and God. When we open up and ask God to test us and examine us, there will be areas in our lives that God wants to change. This young man didn't want that. He turned away sad and walked off. Is there a stumbling block in your life that God wants you to address with him? This is the testing that David wanted, to identify the shortcomings in his life, to prove to himself and those around him that actually he was wholehearted for God, living as God wanted. Not that he was sinless, but he was wholehearted for God. We'll see a bit of a change here in verses 4 to 8 in the passage. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with them. I wash my hands in innocence and go about the altar, proclaiming loud your praise and telling all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, Lord, the place where your glory dwells. In some of the commentaries, it's talking that actually David was pleased to be removed from the court that Saul was in, because it was full of corruption, full of deceit, complicit in injustice, silent as things went on that were wrong. The seat of power was not in Saul's kingdom as it should be. And David wanted to have no part of that. He wanted to be away from that. He's stating here that he didn't want to be involved with those kind of people. And instead he wanted to have integrity in his heart and be separated from them to worship God. It was a conscious decision and then a deliberate act. I do not sit, therefore I will not do this. I abhor this and refuse to do that. There are going to be things and situations that we sometimes need to walk away from. Not because we don't like those people, or prefer these people, better company, they make us laugh. But because we've chosen to align ourselves with God, his people, his congregation. It is a spiritual alignment in our lives. We choose to follow God, and therefore we will choose to do this. and choose not to do certain things. Some things are obvious. Some things are a bit more trying. Are we sometimes complicit by not saying or doing something and just going with the flow and keeping our actions to ourselves or our mouth shut? David was suffering the cost of those consequences. He decided to separate himself from the court, and Saul was after him. That's why he was hiding in the caves. David could have made allies with these people. They were powerful people. But he decided that's not what he wanted to do. He didn't want his integrity questioned, his love for God questioned. He hated being with them, abhorred them. But then in verse 8, he loved going to God's house. The contrast is very stark there, isn't it? Hatred on one side, love being in God's presence, love praising God. In verse 6, it says something a little bit unusual. It says, I wash my hands in innocence and go about the altar, O God, proclaiming about your praise and telling all the wonderful deeds. When the Jews went into the tabernacle, the priests and those coming to worship God would first go up to the laver. And that's where they would do their ceremonial washing, to come before and show God and those around them that they were clean, to come and either bring the altar, the sacrificer to the altar, or to go to the Holy of Holies and worship God. What David is striving for in his cave, he's wanting to come to wash and show his innocence before God and before his people of all the things he'd done. Have we come before God to wash our hands, metaphorically, to clean our hearts before God? As we get to the end of the passage, again, we see a subtle change in verse 11 and 12. But I led a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. At the beginning of the passage, he said, I have led a blameless life. I have led a life of integrity. In verse 11, I lead one. I'm going to be doing this. David had lived a life of integrity, but now he wanted to live that out going forward. He wanted to reconfirm that commitment to God. I will strive onwards, not because I'm great or holy or sinless, but because I need you, God. Redeem me, Lord, and be merciful to me. Yes, he's saying he got integrity. Got that word blameless life. He didn't live a blameless life. But he recognises he needs God to save him, to redeem him. And he's thankful for God for doing that. The rich young ruler asked about gaining eternal life. Jesus told us that it wasn't about obeying rules and letters of the law, but by wholeheartedly following him, getting rid of that stumbling block in our lives. David's integrity in his heart was depicted by his desire to be with God's people and to praise him. I wash my hands and go to the altar. I'm proclaiming aloud your praise and telling all your wonderful deeds. He wanted to be with God's people. He was removed from God's people. He wanted to be with God's people, praising the God Almighty. And the final verse in verse 12, the final verse we see David standing firm, praising God, that his heart that David had that is with God. He's following God's way to be wholehearted in everything he does. And then coming, rejoicing with the people. My feet stand on the level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise you, Lord. When we come to before God, it is a privilege to come and to praise and to worship him, to thank God for everything he's done for us, for redeeming us, and being merciful to us. And it's great that we can do that together on a Sunday morning, coming to praise God and to worship him together. Have you prayed that prayer in verse 2, asking God to test you, to align your heart with His? Do we enjoy coming, spending time with fellow believers, praising Him and worshipping God, lifting His name up and glorifying His name? Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this privilege that we can come into Your presence and to worship and acknowledge You, Heavenly Father. You have done so many great things for us, and we just want to thank You for that. Help us to praise You. Help us to worship You in all areas of our lives, to hand them over to You, Heavenly Father. We just praise You this morning. Amen. There's a couple of lines in the last song we sung, which I thought was great, and I can't find them. Where's it gone? Oh. No, I can't find it. It's about handing everything over to God and being letting God be in charge, but I can't find it in the verses there. Not there. So we're going to sing our final song, which is a song of praise to God in heaven. Could you all please stand? Thank you.
I'm the mountain.
do join us for tea and coffee at the back, and as ever, if you want some prayer, there is an opportunity in the prayer corner to come and have some prayer for this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come and praise your name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done for us. Help us to continue to praise you all this week, we pray. Amen.